Stand up for Jesus. 477, that sounds like it. All right. You know, you want to stand? Let's stand for it. It goes like this. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Last verse goes like this, and then Pastor Jerry will open us in prayer. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Yes, Lord. Yes, amen.
What's it mean to stand up for Jesus? Can you hear me?
Some countries it means ready to die.
What's it mean? I'm wearing my tartan tie this morning.
You go ahead and preach, brother.
Wallace. And if you know the story of Mr. Wallace in Scotland, freedom. Back in that time.
Freedom.
Cry for freedom,
like,
yes.
College.
In other words, he was willing to stand up. Stand up. Some it required his life. Not it's if you watched Mel Gibson's movie, it's not totally like that. It's a little fabricated. But what's it mean to stand up? We all are called to stand up in a different way, aren't we? Sometimes there's areas that we need to speak out against. Sometimes it just means being silent and praying, calling on the Lord. And what we want to do this morning, you're all standing here, but let's unite our hearts together that we would stand up for Jesus in whatever way the Lord calls us. Somebody might be a voice on the internet. Somebody might be a voice in their work. Sometimes, you'd say, well, I'm not a real activist type person. I'm not a vocal type person. But, you know, when you're in your closet and you're alone with the Lord, and the Lord hears that voice and he realizes what your cry is, and we can stand up for him. So let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for the ability that we have in this country to make our voice heard, Lord. We thank you for our opportunity to be in this church right here this morning, that even the doors are open and that we're here and there's cars in the parking lot is a sign that we are standing for righteousness and for truth, and we're standing for you, Lord. Or on the top of this church, there's a cross, Lord. And Lord, that cross would be a symbol of righteousness and truth in our nation, Lord. Never before, like we have seen in our land, Lord, we realize there needs to be a cry for, as William Wallace, a cry for freedom, but not a freedom of even laws, Lord, because we know the laws can't change man. It's only what you can do in man's heart that can change a society, Lord. And it's not a prime minister, it's not a president or any of those things, Lord. It's in each and every one of us our cry for your name to be proclaimed across this land, and that we would stand in righteousness and truth. And every day in our principles, in our lives, and when we meet people in our workforce and they say, well, you know, I think this or that, we could say, well, I believe that there is righteousness and it needs to be proclaimed, and it is through Jesus. And he can change our land. He can change our people's lands and change people's hearts, Lord. We pray, Lord, for that this morning. We pray that you, each one of us, Lord, we may be not great in number here this morning, but, oh, God, Lord, all we could surround all, if we could pull all the darkness of this entire world into this one room, and then we could light one candle, it would drive away that darkness. Lord, so, Lord, together we are candles, and we lift and we unite our candles together. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness. As we give this offering to you, Lord, today, of our tithes and our offerings, Lord, we remember that you have given us all things. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to give. And we pray for your kingdom work here at Harmony Church, and Lord, and the community that we serve, and the missionaries that we minister to, and work, Lord, all around this world. We just pray, Father, take this offering, Lord, and Lord, use it for your kingdom purposes, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We've had a request, so we'll go with that. It's actually an older course. I'm surprised to get this request from a young man. But let's all stand together, and if you know it, the actions are, angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him, so it's a time for you to kind of stretch your arms. And
oh, what a mighty God we serve, what a mighty God we
serve. Yes, Lord.
Oh,
Jesus is the God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Jesus is the God we serve. What a mighty God.
I want you to read the scripture reading. It's in the back of the bulletin, so it's right there.
Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. And if you believe it, say amen.
All right, we're going to start with a scripture reading that Pastor Bruce asked me to do 2 seconds ago. It's from Romans 12, verse 9 to 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word today in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer again, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for your greatness. You are an awesome God. Lord, we can't comprehend how big you are. Lord, from our small space and time, Lord, it's hard for us to understand. Lord, from the circumstances of our life that get in the way of us understanding the people that, Lord, that we are with, sometimes we get caught up in the drama of people's lives and we forget how awesome and how big and how huge you are. And Lord, you gather us together in the assembly today. You bring us together in the assembly to remind us and remind each other of the awesomeness of our God. You bring us together, Lord, to remind us of our duty as Christians. Lord, that your word may be proclaimed and that by the Spirit of the living God, your word would become real in our hearts. that the seed of the word would be germinated in our lives and would have its way. Lord, I pray, Father God, today that through this word that has been read already, and as we look at this and other texts of Scripture, that, Father God, that your name would be exalted. And the Lord, you draw all people unto you. For you are the hope and you are the source. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone would say, amen. Amen. If I asked you how smart you are, what would your answer be? I don't know. Or if I asked you, how do you know how smart you are? What is your standard? How many points you have off of your driver's license? Is that how smart you are? I don't know. You might refer to something like maybe you did an IQ test back when you were in college or something, and you could say, well, here's the proof. Here's exactly how smart I am. You might go back and refer to an essay that you wrote in high school, I don't know, or a GPA, a grade point average, and say, here's the note that the teacher wrote on me, and she says I'm smart, so I must be. I don't know. You could be someone that is not of academic stature with lots of degrees after your name, but maybe you have established a business or a chain of businesses and were very successful in that field. And so there you could say, well, here's my intelligence based on all of the money that I have made in my life. Could be. But if I asked you today, what is your emotional intelligence? Maybe you've never heard of that term before. How smart are you emotionally? What is the level, what is the IQ of your emotional intelligence? You might say, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, today I want you to use the bulletin for another purpose other than reading it, which many of you don't. And that is to get a pen and you can make a score, and we're going to run a score on your IQ, that is your emotional intelligence today, all right? So we can actually use the bulletin for another purpose. You're actually going to take notes maybe today, all right? So get ready. Now, to understand what it means, your emotional intelligence, I was cleaning the office as I move my books off the shelf for renovation purposes. I come across some of my old psychological textbooks, and here one of my old psych textbooks defines emotional intelligence as this. This kind of intelligence has not so much to do with mental skills, that is, intellect, or the intellectual ability to study an emotion, but a lot more with actually experiencing those emotions. Furthermore, emotional intelligence, follow me if you can, enables a person to empathize with someone. All right? So emotional intelligence is how well you're able to empathize with someone. Paul, in the text of Scripture that we're looking at here, says this amongst all those other attributes of the Christian walk. He says this, weep with those who weep, and rejoice with those who rejoice. What Paul is saying is that you have to have empathy one for another and for other situations and other people. So that is an intelligence. That's emotional intelligence. And so how do we get to the place where we can weep with those that weep and not putting on a show and rejoice with those who rejoice and actually mean it? Well, let's look at what empathy is. I have a definition on the board here coming up. Empathy, one of the definitions, many definitions, is this. The ability to step into the shoes of another person. I like that. Aiming to understand their feelings and perspectives and to use that understanding to guide our actions. Because we feel what they feel, because we understand what they are going through, we are able to guide our actions. We're able to respond to their need because we feel their need. You understand? Weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those that rejoice. So how do we increase our intelligence? Now, you can make a score out of 15. Here's the score is going to be 15. So, you know, where do you think you are at in emotional intelligence? What do you think your IQ is? I don't know, you can just give a number, any kind of number, and that's absolutely fine. But how do we weep with those that weep and rejoice with those who rejoice? The first thing is this, and it was already mentioned, And that is just a couple of slides gone. I got a little picture here after this one, sister. You know, I know exactly how you feel. This is to get our empathy, our understanding of empathy, all right? How many people have said that to you and you thought they were bold-faced liars? But how do we empathize with people? We walk a mile, go to the next slide. We walk a mile in somebody else's shoe. Now, where does that come from? That phrase, that phraseology, that metaphor comes from as best as we can discern or research, comes from a native Cherokee, Native American expression. Don't judge another man until you walk a mile in his moccasins. I think that's where they get it, to walk a mile in another man's shoes. That's one of the ways that we increase our emotional intelligence, is to walk in another man's shoes. Raymond knows this situation well, and those that are on the finance committee. Was it two weeks ago at the finance committee, we got the budget ready for 2018. And at the end, Raymond and I took off. And anyways, a couple of days later, I'm checking my emails and I see a picture of a pair of shoes. And my chairman of the board, my chairman of the finance committee, Peter, he says, "Does anybody have my shoes?" And he put a picture of shoes, and I said, "Well, those are my shoes. I've been wearing his shoes for the last couple of days." And apparently, he has the exact same size and taste as me, and so I was walking around literally in my chairman of my finance committee's shoes for a couple of days. We have the same taste. We shop at the same place, Mark's Work Warehouse. We have the same industrial steel-toed shoe, because you never know what I could be, you know, I could be visiting sick or using a chainsaw. You never know what this country preacher's doing. So I have the steel-toed shoes, you know, the anti-slip ones, the great ones, you know. And so anyways, I didn't even notice. I did actually notice that they were more comfortable, because apparently he has expensive orthotics in them. And and I thought my wife had cleaned them because they were nice and shiny and everything. But, you know, you never know. But no, it was not my shoes. I was literally walking in somebody else's shoes. Now, he is in the Bahamas right now, not wearing his steel-toed shoes, I am sure, on the beach somewhere. And God forbid, if anything should happen to dear brother Peter, I get his shoes. So, anyways. But sometimes the only way to experience empathy is to first experience hardship. See, we don't like those lessons. Wait a minute, I thought you're all faith, believing, and prosperity teaching. You know, I don't know. You're talking about hardships? Yeah, if you want to increase your emotional intelligence, you're going to have to go through hard times. You see, there's no better way to understand what people are going through than for you to experience going through it yourself. There's no other way. Some would say, well, I'd rather be stupid then than to increase that kind of emotional intelligence. Well, sometimes it just has thrust on you. You know, this week at 8:07 in the morning in Hawaii, somebody on their heading out on their shift accidentally pushed a button, you've heard this story, and sent out a warning that said this. It went across everybody's cell phones. It went across the television. It was blurted out in the radio. At the moment he went off in his break, accidentally pushed a button, and it said, "Ballistic missile attack on Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill." And for 38 minutes, the state of Hawaii was in absolute turmoil. People were abandoning their cars on the highway. People were leaving things where they were, running out of their workplaces, not locking the workplace, just running and seeking shelter. Canadian tourists had no idea what was going on. Where'd the pool guys go? They're all gone. And then eventually, of course, they figured out what was going on. They sent out another alert and said, no, this was an accident. It's just a drill. But one lady said this. You know, she says, now I understand what people go through who live in war-torn countries. She says, you know, I understand how Japan gets a lot of these. You know, there's a lot of warnings that come because every time Kim Jong does his thing, you know, the Japanese send off another alert, and people, depending on where they are, they have to scurry for cover. She said, fine. She says, now I know what they feel like. Even though it was an accident, even though it was just a drill, she says, now I understand people that live for fear of somebody coming and bombing them. If you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, I think I have it up here as well. Here's a great text of Scripture that talks about how to develop your emotional intelligence, how to have empathy for others. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 6. It's good to have it in front of you in your own version. I'll read from this version here. Praise the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the Father who is compassionate and the God who gives comfort. He comforts us whenever we suffer. That is why whenever other people suffer, we are able to comfort them by using the same comfort we have received from God. Because Christ suffered so much for us, we can receive so much comfort from Him. Because Christ has suffered so much, we don't understand the sufferings of Christ. It's hard for us to comprehend the immensity, and not just the physical pain of being crucified, but the emotional pain of being rejected by your own. And something that we cannot even comprehend, bearing the sins of the world. We can't understand that. Because Christ suffered so much for us, He is able to comfort so much. We're able to receive so much from Him. Besides, if we suffer, it brings you comfort and salvation. He is saying there, Paul is saying, listen, if we go through hard times, it's so that you can benefit for it. If we are comforted, we can effectively comfort you when you endure the same sufferings that we endure. Been there and done that, Paul says. And he says this is a comfort to him, knowing that no matter what he goes through, he knows that God will use it for somebody else. No matter what you go through, God can use it for somebody else. Listen, I am not asking you to start praying for trouble. That would be dumb. All right? All right. But I'm telling you that when you go through things, Christ who already paid for it, I understand. This is not a thing about you getting sick or something because of blah, 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 blah. Don't get into some strange idea. Oh, Lord, give me some kind of sickness so that I may understand. No, 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 no. Christ paid for these things on the cross. But when you go through things, remember that God will use them. That not only did Jesus pay for all suffering on the cross, but through His suffering on the cross, He is able to empathize. And because He can empathize and He gets 15 out of 15, He can minister to anything you're going through. Anything you're going through. There is nothing that you're going through that Christ doesn't have a barrel full of comfort for you. You know, the word comfort here is the word parakletos, which means to come alongside. You know, para, parallel, come alongside. The one who comes alongside. It's the same terminology that Jesus used to refer to the Holy Spirit. When He says, I will send a comforter. Are we to do a job like unto the Holy Spirit? Yes. In fact, the Spirit of God is in you if you're a born-again Christian. You have the Spirit of God in you. And you are, if you want to increase your emotional intelligence, you need to walk beside people. leadership is often seen this way. I'm over here, you're over there. Come on over here. Come on, get your butt together and get over here. Come on, smarten up and get over here. Would you hurry up and get over here? That's sometimes the scene of leadership. But the parakletos is someone that goes over to them, comes alongside of them, and says, let's go together. Let's walk together. Parakletos. To experience God walking alongside of you in your sufferings is such a beautiful thing. Not just in the beauty of having Him present in your life at that time and having Him go through the stuff with you and to come out the other side, but it's a beautiful thing that you don't even know about because you don't know who it's going to bless someday. Who have you walked with lately? We want God to walk with us, you know. We want the Lord right next to us, Lord. We want Him real close to us, and that's absolutely wonderful. But who are you willing to go out and walk with them, come alongside of them, and they are different from you, and we'll get to that. But who are you walking with right now? All right, here's your score. Out of 0 to 5 in the first point, what is your emotional intelligence? What do you feel is your score? Rating yourself 0 to 5 and how much you are ready to walk with others. Rate your score in how much God has done for you and how much you have allowed God to use you to minister to people that have went through the same thing that you have went through. You can rate yourself 0 to 5. It's very, very subjective today. The second thing is prayer and intercession. I always say, well, you're always trying to push that on us, preacher. But the thing is this. To bear the burdens of those who are walking through difficulties, we need to be in prayer for them. But with the kind of prayer that the book of Romans talks about, with the groanings that cannot be understood or uttered, with intercession, in that intercessory time, when you get to that point, empathy happens. There is an emotional and spiritual thing that comes together. Because we are body, soul, and spirit, because we are spirit, we have a soul. That's the seat of emotion. And we live in this body. All right? You're a very complicated person, aren't you? That's what his wife says. I heard that. But because of that, when the spirit within us begins to make intercession and touches our spirit, I tell you what, and if the Spirit of God is in somebody else and that spirit is in you and it begins to minister and there's groanings and there's intercession for the body of Christ, you know what? In your soul you'll be in, because it's so uniquely built alongside of your spirit, you'll begin to feel what that person is going through. There is a level of intercession that transcends the spirit and actually goes into the soul of men, the mind, the will, and the emotions. And if we are really, if you maybe have been in this place where you have been in prayer for somebody and you have interceded for them to the point where you begin to understand what they're going through. You see, there is a level of prayer that is simply saying, "Dear God, bless Jimmy. He's going through a hard time, and would you please put the price of gas down because I got a trip to take, and all the things that you may give to the Lord on your shopping list of prayer." But there is another level of prayer that is getting in to the depth of things. Have you been in that place of prayer where you begin to understand what people are going through because the Spirit begins then to direct you in your prayers? You thought you were praying for this because this was the need, but then the Spirit begins to say that's not the real need. See, the real thing is here. You're praying for their physical thing, or you're praying for their financial thing, or you're praying for whatever it is. That's one level of prayer, seeing the need with the eyes. Hearing the need with the ears. This is what people are asking for. This is what people are going through. You take it to the Lord. But if you take that to the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, and you begin to get down into intercession for them, then the Lord begins to direct you, saying, this is what they're really going through. This is why there's poverty. This is why there's sickness. This is why there's whatever else. And I'm not talking about being big spiritual judges and saying, we understand what's going on. But to be able to empathize with people and to begin to feel their pain and understand why it is that they're going through the things that they're going through, that is emotional intelligence, and it comes through prayer. Do you pray through until you gain insight and understanding as to what others are going through? Once you do, then you can refocus your prayers because the Spirit will show you more. My psychology textbook says this: by gaining understanding, and it's not spiritual, but I can see how it works, how the spirit and the soul work together. My psychology textbook says, by gaining understanding the reasons behind your client's behavior, of course, this is academic, it's counselor training. So if you can actually get to a point, this is psychology, understand the reasons behind your client's behavior, you have mastered an important hurdle on the path towards empathic compassion. That's what they say is a good thing to do, but they don't know how to do it. Prayer and intercession is a way of actually accomplishing the things that the psychologists say would be a great... Wouldn't it be good if you could just understand why people are going through the thing they're going through? Wouldn't it be great if you could get beyond what you see and get down to the deeper parts of things? This is psychology. Wouldn't that be great? And through prayer, you know that can happen. Perhaps you never saw prayer as a means to increase your emotional intelligence. Oftentimes, people that just pray are called that, just prayer. I do this, someone else does that, someone does the other, but I pray. Friends, it is in prayer and intercession that God ministers us and makes us emotionally intelligent. Why do people so stupid in church? Excuse me, some churches, not Harmony Church, you know. But why do people do such stupid things?
Human.
You're human, yeah. But what is our intelligence? Why people are going? Why they do? What? Don't they know? And you say, well, you know, to increase our intelligence emotionally means maybe we need to spend more time in prayer, and not just reciting things that are needed, but also getting into the nitty gritty of things. All right. So, all right, get your points out, 0 to 5. Where are you at in your emotional intelligence when it comes to intercessory prayer? Are you just a shopping list type of prayer person, or do you actually pray until you gain an understanding of what is the Spirit saying about this person? Right. The third point is this. Focus on the similarities and not the differences. By focusing on the differences, that's what breeds distrust. By focusing on the differences, that's what breeds prejudice. They're so different from me. I don't know if I want to be around them. They're so different from me. Whereas if you want to be able to help people, you need to find the things that you share in common with them. When we meet somebody for the very first time, often we first, and it's just the natural thing to do, friends. It's what we do. We pigeonhole people. We put them in a box. We take a look at them. We look at their clothing. We look at their color. We look at their accent. We look at whatever it is. And we begin to try to find a box for them. In fact, it's understandable to get to know people. We often want to find out more about them. We need to find out what their job is, and that puts them in a little bit of a box. And we need to find out where they came from, and that puts them in a little bit of a box. And we begin to do this kind of thing, and it's a natural thing to do. Our first impressions, however, are often the judgments that never leave us, though. And if we allow prejudice to fill our hearts, we'll never get to empathize with people and what they're going through, because we'll just say, well, they're that. That's what they are. That's what their family name is. Oh, I know that bunch. I know those Norths. I get ripped off by a couple of them, you know, whatever else. You know, I've seen those Norths. As I was cleaning out my desk, I came across a letter from years ago from one of the camp counselors. I was the pastor doing the devotions and ministering at the native camps, and have been for a few years. And this was the first native camp. And I understand why I kept this letter. The letter said this: Pastor, when I first met you, I judged you as a hard-nosed religious type. I came to camp. I remember coming to camp. I had my clerical collar on, and I had come from church. I'd preached at Pembroke, and I was coming to camp right after that, and I had my clerical collar on and the whole nine yards. And I remember this girl. She was there. You know, she has a number of tattoos on her and a few other things and some different colors of hair and whatever else. But she says this: when I first met you, I judged you as a hard-nosed religious type, and anger immediately rose up in me based on my past hurts with religious people. Thank God I got to know you by the end of the week and was able to receive ministry from you and really began to appreciate you. Please forgive me for misjudging you. Wow. Here's a girl from a broken home and all kinds of situations going on in her life and whatever else. I'm not exactly sure how she managed to get to camp and get to be a counselor at Native Camp. But anyways, there she was, and here is this straight-laced religious guy. At least that's what I look like. Sometimes I try to look like that. You know, that's the image, you know. And she says, forgive me for judging you. Who is it you have judged because of their first impressions, and you have written them out of your life, written them out of ministry, written them out of being able to have anything to do with them, and just said, I can't receive from them. I can't receive from them. Maybe you didn't say it like that, but in your heart, something said, I can't receive from them. Paul here in this text of Scripture, not only does he say, rejoice with them, rejoice, weep with them that weep, or backwards, he says, and be sure to associate with the lowly. Live in harmony with one another. We like that. And be sure to associate with the lowly. When we associate with the lowly, as Paul says, we have to not be afraid to be guilty by association. If we are to grow in empathy, we must excel in humility and hang with some people that on the outside may look to be more different than you are the same. We know Paul's tactic in ministry. It was to become all things to all people that some might be saved. So here is your point system. When you see someone, do you judge them more according to how different they are from you? Or do you see more of the things in common that you can find? If you almost always judge the people on their differences, give yourself one or zero. But if you begin to look at people and try to find the things, the common ground with, you know what? If they're a believer in Jesus, that's a big common thing. And if they're a human being, that's a big common thing. They're a sinner in need of a Savior. There's an awful lot of things that we can find in common. If we are to develop our emotional intelligence, we need to begin to look at the similarities and not the differences, because looking at the differences makes us stupid. Somebody that is totally caught up in prejudice and hatred, which we might look and say, man, they're not very bright, is simply because they have always focused on the differences, because they're not like me. This past week, of course, was Martin Luther King Jr. Day in the States. I have him up there because I'm just amazed by this man. He wrote a letter from what's called the Letter from the Birmingham Jail. And it is an awesome piece of literature. Martin Luther King Jr. was in a peaceful protest. He was arrested. He was thrown into an Alabama Birmingham jail. And in the prison, he wrote a letter. And this is without Google. This is without Siri. This is without Snapchat or whatever else you've got technologically at your disposal. But he sat down and wrote a letter, and he quoted the church fathers. He quoted ancient texts. He quoted the scripture, of course, the American Constitution. He quoted all kinds of things in such an eloquent way with pen and paper and simply the great intellect that he had. In reading this letter, if you can hear Dr. King's voice and not mine, and for those that have heard his voice on recordings, you can picture when he says this. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. See, this man was focused on the common things, not on the differences. The guys that put him in the jail, they were focusing on the differences, but he was focusing on the things that were in common. That we're all interconnected and we all need each other. He continues on to say this: we will have to repent in this generation. Of course, this is 1960s, mid-60s. We will all have to repent in this generation, not merely for the hateful words and actions of bad people, but for the appalling silence of the good people. Human progress never rolls in on wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts of men and women seeking to be co-workers with Almighty God. We will win our freedom because the sacred heritage of our nation and the eternal will of God are embodied in our echoing demands. And Dr. King closes his letter with this, and I have edited, I have not read the whole thing by no means, but he ended with this: let us all hope that the dark clouds of racial prejudice will soon pass away and the deep fog of misunderstanding will be lifted from our fear-drenched communities. And in some not too distant tomorrow, may the radiant stars of love and brotherhood shine over our great nation with all their scintillating beauty. Add up your score. It was 5, 5, and 5 for the 3 points. If anybody got 15, they're Jesus, and I'd like to shake your hand, all right? If you get 12 and more, then you should quit whatever job you're doing now and become a professional counselor, all right? It doesn't matter so much what you scored. Because the last thing is, and I end with this, is that we need to have the mind of Christ. Be more like Jesus. You say, I think I only scored 3 or 4 out of whatever 15. I guess I'm not very empathic. I'm not very empathetic with people and whatever else. Yeah, but I know a guy who is 15 out of 15. I know the one that did it right. You see, I know the one that was all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. I know the one who was with the Father in heaven, but shed those things and came down and came in the form of man and walked with us and went through hardship with us. That is absolute empathy, friends, when you choose to walk alongside humanity. He walked with them in the good times and walked with his disciples in the bad times. He walked with the poor. He walked with the diseased. He walked with the oppressed. He walked with the social outcast. He came alongside of them in all these things, and that walk took him on a walk of the Via Dolorosa. He walked right to the cross. We need to take on the mind of Christ. If we want to increase our emotional intelligence today, get to know Jesus better. Let the things in us die and let the things of Jesus rise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, right now. And there are people that are in this place that are hurting. There are people that are in this congregation or this audience that are going through difficult times. They're having a struggle. They're having a hard time. And they feel that nobody understands what they're going through. And the sad truth could be that that might be absolutely the way it is when it comes to humanity, but it is absolutely not true when it comes to Jesus, because he does know what you're going through, friend. Father, I pray for each individual that's struggling with some crippling things going on in their life today. I pray, Lord, that they would sense you coming alongside of them, that you are there for them and you are there with them. You are their Emmanuel. You are the God with us. You are the Paraclete. Your Holy Spirit is here and he is present right now. And I sense the Spirit of the living God today reaching out and ministering to people. All of a sudden, people are waking up and understanding somebody is with me right now. Somebody is here with me when I go through this. Somebody is right beside me now. And they're understanding now that they didn't understand before that that somebody is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father God, for those that are going through times that not only would they have the Lord on their side, but Father, that you would raise up believers who are willing to journey with them. I pray for the Church of Jesus Christ that you would raise our emotional intelligence level, Lord. That as we seek your face, that as we walk with people, that as we put on the mind of Christ, that as we put away the differences and begin to focus on the things that we have in common, that, Lord, we'll become a more intelligent group of people. Father, I pray for those that have been through much. They've been through the fire and they've been through the flood. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to realize that God has led them through for a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God. Lord, I pray for each one that right now is saying, what was the point of this? What was the point of this? What good could come out of this situation that I've been through? And may the Lord speak now to each heart that is saying that and say, here, I'm going to use that. I'm going to use the darkest time. I'm going to use the worst pain. I'm going to use the greatest scar in your life. And I'm going to turn it around. If you'll just let me use it, I'll bring people in your pathway. I will open up doors of understanding. I will open up windows of heaven. And they will come out and you will be able to use those things to my glory. And you will be my hand extended. If your heart is to be that person, lift your hand to heaven right now and say, Lord, I'm here. I know I've been through some tough times. I know I've been through some things that even I don't want to tell people about. But Lord, here I am. I'm here, Lord. Here's my hand. Take my hand, Lord, and show me and lead me to the people that you want to lead me to, Father. For we ask it in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. And amens. Praise God. The altar is open today. If you need prayer today, I just sense God is doing so much. I sense the Spirit of God is working. The Spirit of God is ministering to us today. And I don't want to take away from that. I want you to be able to receive ministry today. Sister North, if you would come just for the platform to sing. I don't know what we're going to sing, but I'm just going to say the altar is open here today. Pastor Jerry is here, myself, Pastor Sister, all the sisters are here today, men, women, nobody in particular, and everybody in particular. If you need prayer today, don't leave this place. Don't say, I was to church and nobody came alongside me. Well, sometimes you have to ask. Because you know what? We're not all that bright. We don't know what you're going through. We're trying. Friends, we're trying. We're wanting to move from a 3 to a 4 in our emotional scale. But we don't always get it. But we're willing. We're willing.